Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds. All right, let's do it.
Yeah. Hi everybody.
Hey everybody!
Woo! My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Yeah, only in the dark.
Only in the dark. Don't you fucking dare tell these stories when the lights are on or when it's daytime.
Yeah.
Don't you dare. Not even at dusk.
No, oh no.
Full dark. Not even on a cloudy day.
Some people believe if we repeat stories often enough, they become real. They make us who we are. That can be scary.
Don't you dare. Complete darkness.
Tom, how did you like this movie?
I thought it was very boring.
Oh, okay. This is great. I didn't love it. I will not defend it in any way. I didn't hate it.
I will say that I thought the parts where they actually did the stories were really good, and the horror was pretty effective for what it was.
Yeah,
it's just all of the stupid bullshit in between I could do without.
Yeah, there was reviews of it that were kind of said as much. And I'll say, I think part of this is maybe the fact that I got up and I was like half asleep. And I went and saw it. Mm-hmm. And so for a movie that you're watching when you're still like waking up, it was perfectly acceptable. Still not great.
Yeah.
It was pretty fucking standard.
Yeah, I wish, again, every time they did a story that was actually from the book, I liked it. And I wish they hadn't bothered to try to make it like a complete narrative that ties all these stories together. They should have just done an anthology that did a bunch of the stories.
Yes, because hot take or breaking news, this is not an anthology.
No.
That was their first mistake, I think. I didn't mind like the framing device that ties all the scary stories together wasn't the worst.
No, but it's... But I'm sick of it.
Yes. I didn't care about the characters. I think.
Yeah.
I thought when we got that first scene, it was going to be like, oh, and then they are like locked in there and they start reading the stories. And then we get to the anthology. Like I kept.
Right.
When it started, I was like, okay. And then they read the stories, right? Like, how is this going to.
Yeah.
The scariest parts, like, obviously this is PG-13. It's for.
Yeah.
The youngins, I thought they did a pretty good job, even considering
Yeah, for
that.
Sure. For sure. The imagery is all really solid, and the horror sequences themselves are well done, for the most part.
Yeah. There was a couple. The Red Room one, all I could think is, like, go around.
Well, the Red Room one is the big exception. That one was very dumb.
It was very silly.
She just hugs him? Like, what the fuck? Fuck was that?
Yeah, for people who haven't watched it, he's in like a. I liked a lot of the setup.
Yeah,
the kid has a dream that he's in a red room, and then this monster comes after him, and then they're in a hospital, and they're like, we have to go to the red room for these files, and he doesn't go because of his dream, and then they sound the alarm because they think he is broken into the hospital for some reason. The alarm comes with insane lights. And everything turns red, and it was like, oh, that's neat. It's
there
a red room.
Yeah.
I don't know why this hospital would do that, but sure. And then I did like the setup of he sees the thing coming down the hallway, and every time he goes into a new hallway, you see it. And I like the
idea.
Oh, that's
all shot? That was shot well.
Yeah, it was really well shot, and the idea of this slow-moving thing coming towards you, and it's from every angle
was
cool.
No matter which angle you turn, it was coming, and it was getting closer.
But once it got into the same room... It became evident that it's so slow that he could at any time just kind of go around it.
Yeah.
Like, it was really funny when they, like, because they all come into the room and then they're all coming towards him. Mm-hmm. And the way they cut it is, like, they clearly, it reminds me of the steamroller in Austin Powers.
Yes.
Where the kid's like, ah, and they keep cutting this thing slowly coming towards it from all the angles.
Yeah. Well, and it's also in A Fish Called Wanda, they do the same joke.
Yeah. And yeah, they sure do.
It takes a really long time.
Yeah.
And like, then when it gets to him, she just hugs him and he vanishes into her belly. It's the strangest thing.
It's really fucking weird.
It's like, what?
Yeah. And that is sort of the case for a lot of this movie, is that the horror is very much like, it's very much like a kid's first horror movie, where it's so standard, the stuff where the ghouls and it's ghouls and spiders and it's,
yeah,
like,
but
it's,
I think for the most part, with the exception of the Red Room, it's conceptually, yeah, it's pretty standard, but it's executed well.
I was about to say that's what sets it apart.
The execution's above average, definitely. Yeah.
I did really like the bit at the beginning, which I'm sure there's versions of this I've seen, and I think I just like this style of haunting where the kid hides in the closet to scare his friend,
mm-hmm.
and then he hears something and opens it, and the room outside is suddenly, like, not abandoned, because they're in an abandoned house. And yeah.
It's just this old lady. Doberman just staring at him.
Yeah, and that was nice and creepy.
Yeah, that was creepy. This is a simultaneously a gripe and mostly appreciating. It starts, like, the first story is not a story from the book. At least not one that I remember.
What's
the Scarecrow?
Oh, really? That seemed like it would be from the book. That just seemed like the most
book-like. I definitely didn't remember from the book at all.
Really?
Yeah. Unless it was from, like, the third one, because I'm not that familiar with the third one.
Maybe. It was... that all of the stories were, again, like, there wasn't anything particularly clever about the stories, mainly because you don't really, and I mean, it's sort of like the book where it's like, I don't know why any of it's happening.
Yeah. A lot of the story, like, they do the big toe in the movie, which I appreciated, because that's one of the more memorable ones.
So I just remembered.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I just remembered why this was done competently.
Yeah.
It's because it's the director of The Autopsy of Jane Doe and Troll Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a great director.
Yeah.
And I hope after this, he can go back to making movies like that.
Yeah, it's this movie's biggest problem is it's too long and then it's not an anthology.
Yep.
I was going to say about the Scarecrow thing, even though I could be wrong. It might be from one of the later books. I'm more familiar with the first Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. But I actually, like, even for it being, like, such a standard, like, it's a Scarecrow, I thought it was done pretty well.
Yeah. Well, that, again, I'm looking up the writers, and the writers have done, like, kids' movies and then Guillermo del Toro.
You meant Guillermo del Toro. Yeah.
And I don't know if Guillermo del Toro cared that much when he was working on this. I can't tell. But, again, the directing is fantastic, I think. The more I think about it, like, and just really remembering it's that director, it's like, he did great. I think he just kind of got brought to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And now it's that sad thing where it's like, ah, crap. Now he's doing, like, other people's stuff and, like, more
commercial. Well, maybe this will give him
more
money
power,
to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing.
Yeah. Maybe Guillermo, like, took him aside. He's like, look, this is your Blade 2, kid. You just got to do your Blade 2. Everybody's got a Blade 2, and this is yours. Mm-hmm. The writing was just kind of, it was so bland. Like
she literally says, you don't read the book reads you. And I was like, what?
Oh yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
And it was supposed to be this chilling moment. I'm like, that's a joke from Tropic Thunder.
Right.
And they point out in Tropic Thunder that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. That also, spoilers, the ghost is defeated in this by her politely asking the ghost to stop.
Yes.
Like, it literally is the ending of her, like, hey, cut the shit. And the ghost is just like, all right. Like,
all right.
That's more or less it. They find out why the ghost is angry. And then when she's confronted by the ghost, she points out to the ghost that she's being, like, mean. She says, you were, because they find out the ghost is a girl, a little girl.
It's the ring.
It's the ring. Yeah, she was mistreated. Now she's getting revenge. She got revenge on her family. And she literally says to the ghost, like, you're no better than your family if you keep doing this. You're now become a monster. I'll tell everybody that, you know, shit sucked for you. And the ghost is like, okay. And, like, that's pretty much it, which makes me wonder, like, could you do that to other ghosts, too? Like, could have
Well, she tries to do it to the ring girl, and then it turns out that...
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's not what she wanted.
Right.
I'm real sick of this ghost, this kind of ghost.
Yes.
Where it's like, ghost was wrong, and the way to defeat the ghost is to figure out how the ghost was wrong and make it right. I'm like, no, right. I'm done with that.
I've just never seen it done so directly as I just am going to reason with the ghost verbally and have a conversation with the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those weird things where nobody really... Whenever a monster shows up in this, people just run from the monster, which... I get it, but no one even tries to fight. Oh, I guess the Scarecrow is the only one.
No, they do. He stabs the Scarecrow, and then the cop shoots the jangly man.
Oh, that's true. Everybody else just sort of accepts it coming towards them or hides. I don't know.
Right.
A lot of these ghosts, like the Big Toe, like, I feel like you could have pushed
her
over.
Doesn't even try to block the door.
Yeah. It's all very standard. I did like the Scarecrow when he turns into the Scarecrow. That was real.
That was gnarly. Yeah,
that was fucking gnarly. It's like he's making like vomiting sounds.
He's coughing. It's like his body's filling up with straw and it's coming out of his mouth and his ears and his eyes.
Choking on it.
It's pretty fucked up.
Again, that's the sign of a good director. Because I really do think the execution, for the most part, was good.
Spider part was horrific.
Oh, yeah, the spider.
Yeah, shit.
It's really just like that, the Red Room one where it's like,
yeah,
there's no good way to do that, I guess. But again, the execution was good up until the moment where they had to die, and it's like someone should have said, "This is dumb. We need to rewrite this."
Conceptually, like, this is stupid.
Yeah, and that was the biggest problem with it. Yeah, this is it's too safe. Which is weird to say because swastikas show up in this movie like immediately.
The first thing you see is Richard Nixon. This movie focuses heavily on the presidential campaign of Richard Nixon. I have no idea why.
I want to talk about that because I feel like they were trying to say something. The first shot, it is Richard Nixon with swastikas over his eyes, but it's so close that the first thing you see is like a swastika.
Right.
And it was like, whoa. Like,
yeah. Swastika. On his campaign poster. Yep. Yeah.
And throughout it is his campaign is happening throughout the movie. It's a period
It's everything anyone is watching on television.
Yep. And it keeps happening. Yeah, there's parts where they linger on the TV.
They linger on the television of his, like, yeah, it's so fucking strange.
Yeah, because one of the characters is a draft dodger, and I got like his arc. It worked, I guess. He goes to war at the end, which I was like, that, I don't know if you should do that. But, you know, whatever. That was his arc. And then there's also the fact that he's Hispanic, and so there's a shitload of racist, like Stephen King-style racism against him. Like, there's the Stephen King bullies, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are saying racist shit at him. And those were little things that I was like, this feels nostalgic. I like it, that, like, Stephen King-style bullies and the period piece. But it felt like they were definitely trying to say something.
It must have been for the Vietnam War and the draft to be such a major plot point, and for them to spend so much time reminding us that Nixon was running for president, and that like election day happens in the, like, Nixon gets elected in the movie.
Yes. Why? Okay.
I don't know what it means though.
So let's start in the basic first question. Why is this taking place in the 60s?
It's 1968.
Why does it take place then?
I assume because cell phones would ruin it.
Okay. Cell phones would ruin it.
I assume because cell phones and the internet would ruin it.
Here's the thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it wouldn't, though. Because they use walkie-talkies to try to warn their friends and are in communication constantly via phone. And they use the internet, or they use the newspaper archives to look up the information.
Mm-hmm.
So how could cell phones or internet have changed those sequences?
I don't know. They could have conceivably, because they're not able to call Chuck's sister when her face is about to explode with spiders.
Right, but she could have left her phone in. She's
That's
about
true.
To do a play.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I'm saying is that I know that that is the reason why a lot of horror movies do the period piece.
Mm-hmm.
But this one specifically, it felt like they wanted to do this period of time, especially because of the Nixon stuff.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is the opening narration says the story goes back to the last, what was it, like the last season of our childhood or something. And like a lot of people refer to the Nixon, a lot of people, historians refer to the Nixon administration as sort of like the end of American exceptionalism, because, you know, with the impeachment and everything. So it was like that's when Americans started to distrust the government. So it could be seen, I guess you could take that to mean like the end of our figurative childhood when we stopped, like we stopped thinking everything was okay and things were number one, because it was like it was Nixon's impeachment, the Vietnam War. Like, all the crap that happens around that time was sort of like, oh, everything... Like, it was sort of like the end of, like, everything's going well post-World War II.
That was my thoughts as
well. But why make this movie that?
That's the thing. Like, it was some producer like, you know, the Trump stuff that's really in the zeitgeist. Like, because, like, the swastikas and the racism against Hispanics and stuff is depressingly topical.
Yeah.
So it felt
like
they were...
This movie takes place 50 years ago.
Right. And I feel like they wanted that added message in it that was just like, this is still happening. This is awful. They're not wrong.
Well, maybe, yeah, because she says stories, what'd she say? Stories hurt, stories heal.
Right.
We repeat them and they become real.
Right.
And that's in the beginning and the end. So maybe it's something about like, not learning from the past, or I don't
know. Here's the problem. This, like, and it's hard because I don't, those are important things to talk about. I don't think they belong in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
No, it's bizarre. It is bizarre that the one of the first images you see in this film is a Nixon campaign poster with swastikas drawn on it. I was like, what is happening?
I think they overextended themselves because I think they wanted to have this message in it, but they didn't have, like, someone involved wanted to put out this message, but this was just the next movie they were involved in. So they were like, let's put this in. It reminds me of the Kevin Smith story about making Superman where he wants to put a giant spider in because he had just seen a spider, a documentary on spiders, that producer.
Yeah, John Peters.
John Peters. Like, it's not the same, but it's that idea of like, yeah, we're all thinking about it right now, and it is relevant. But and if they had found a way to work it into this movie that it wasn't clunky, I probably would be saying the opposite. It's just this version of the movie, it's weird. Because it doesn't have, because it's like putting that in Goosebumps, you know?
Yeah.
It's like putting it in the Lego movie. It's just like, these aren't, if you find a way to naturally put it in that, because they're doing something that's based off of a brand. And the brand is a very specific thing. And they just,
folklore.
Yeah, they added this layer in that I was so confusing in context of the brand, where it's like, I don't understand why Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is what inspired you to talk about Nixon. And, like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
And I still, I'm so confused by that.
I don't, yeah.
It was a little all over the place with that stuff. Because they do stuff where they show, like, the main character is into scary stories. They show her room is filled with, horror movie posters. And they go watch Night of the Living Dead and stuff like that. I think this has to do with, that's the thing, is the idea of it's the end of a certain era in childhood. Like, I kind of get that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what generation is Scary Stories popular with? Ours, right?
Yes, although I think the books are even older.
Really?
I think the books were, like, in the 70s?
Oh, okay.
Maybe not.
I would say, like, if whatever era it is popular in, focus on this nostalgia of that time, right? Like, they seem to be sort of doing that. They're like, they had this horror movie theme and this love of scary stories in a broad sense with all the horror references. But then they had the Nixon references. And then they had, and it was just like, what the fuck is going on? Pick a tone, pick a theme. It's really weird.
It is bizarre, yeah. 1981 is when they were first published. The first book was published in 1981.
Maybe they just don't want to do Stranger Things, but it's like they kind of... Like, this would have benefited by... Like, this could have literally been a group of kids in their house. Like, I remember I read these in my cousin's house. Mm-hmm. With a flashlight on their staircase. They had one of those staircases where it goes down and then there's like a little platform and then it keeps going down. And we mm-hmm. would hang out in the little area and we turned off all the lights and we sat and we read scary stories to tell in the dark. This could literally be kids in the 80s getting together, dressed as Ghostbusters or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they sit down and they start reading. And then each story happens and we see it, right?
Indeed. Yeah, that's what it should have been. All right, I just looked it up. Harold is indeed a story in the third book.
Okay.
So.
It felt like it must have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's all this needed to be. And, like, they could have had different directors do it. They could have really hyped it up. You know, like, they could have brought back the idea of an anthology. Because we've gotten anthologies lately. We covered Nightmare Cinema. Mm-hmm. But they've always been these indie straight-to-streaming films.
And yeah, because I think they... historically don't do well.
Right, but they could have pushed it, right? They could have done what Stranger Things did, where they're like, mm-hmm. nostalgia, Stephen King, 80s, 90s, remember anthologies? Let's mm-hmm. do this. Let's see if we can get John Carpenter to direct one. You know, like, mm-hmm. let's fucking go for it. This was clearly a big enough property that they could throw some money at it.
They clearly did, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, use that money to do something. Like, again, I love this director. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like, and I'm sure there was a version of this in the works where they're like, let's just do an anthology.
Yeah, let's just do the stories.
But somewhere down the line, they decided that was a mistake. And mm-hmm. deciding that was a mistake.
Yeah, I agree. The part that, like, yeah, this movie, the story sequences are like 2 minutes. So, like, I'll be sitting there for like, and... There's only like four or five of them in the movie, so you'll sit there for like 30 minutes until one of them happens, and I was so fucking bored right. in between each one.
Well, because, okay, the characters aren't particularly great.
No.
The arc is just that Hank from Breaking Bad's wife left him, mm-hmm. and the main character is the daughter of Hank.
Yes, it's daughter of Hank.
Daughter of Hank. And it's the arc is basically just like this little, like, they clearly knew, like, we need to put an arc in here. Like, it was those kind of arcs where they're like, well, the characters need some sort of arc, so let's inject an arc that, again, didn't have anything to do with the scary stories aspect. There's
nothing,
all these weird
all.
Things. The only thing that ties Nixon to, because the idea is the girl, the haunted ghost girl, was tortured by her family because she knew that this mill was poisoning the town.
Right. Her wealthy family had a paper mill that was poisoning the water and kids were dying from mercury poisoning. Right. And she got blamed for being a serial poisoner of children.
Right. And I really think that it was something where there were like some producers were like, put up a fucking idea board and they were like, what's in the zeitgeist? Trump.
Paper mills.
Paper. Flint. No, like Flint, the water. Corruption. Yeah. Rich people, and they're like, put it all in, get it all in there, because that's what it felt like. It was like, mm-hmm. none of this had anything to do with scary stories to tell in the dark, but they seem to have a lot of commentary throughout that they wanted to share with us, mm-hmm. but was so unfocused and didn't result in any moral or like message that it was just like, why did you do this? Any of this? It's And again, it's all tucked into these... Like, the best way to watch this movie is to fast forward to all the actual scary story sequences.
Mm-hmm. It'll be about 10 minutes long.
Yep.
And you will be delighted.
Yeah. And then you can move on with your life.
And then you can move on with your life.
Or watch it like I did, half asleep, where I was like... I literally, in those scenes, between the scary scenes, I would be like, all right, I'll rest my eyes for a second. Because they were just talking about... It was... It was basically the things would happen and then they'd talk about the things.
They'd talk about the thing that would happen, another thing would happen, and they'd run to where the thing was happening, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And they'd research the things that are happening.
They would dole out some exposition, a thing would happen, they'd run to the thing, like, and that's that's it.
That's more or less it.
It was very frustrating.
Yeah.
It was like, you guys, this is such a perfect idea. Just do the stories.
Yeah, it's one of those...
I don't need this bullshit.
It's just one of those... I'm trying to think of other properties like this, like other missed opportunities, because I know they've existed, where it's like, oh, they're making that as a movie? That's amazing. And then you watch it, and you're like, man, you really whiffed on this.
Yeah.
You really missed the mark. And it is a shame, because great director. I want him to keep working.
Yeah, for sure.
I would have loved for this to succeed. And I wasn't as bored as you again, but I think that was just because I was sleepy.
Yeah, maybe.
And I was just like real chill and relaxed. So like, I didn't hate this film. I just can't defend it. Because it's file it under movies I'm going to forget about.
Oh,
in a
for
week.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
That's a real shame for what it is.
I really loved these books when I was a kid.
Yeah.
The first one I think was the only one I had, but I really loved that book.
Yeah, these books were amazing as a kid, especially the illustrations. Something mm-hmm. that kind of comes out in this, but as
not
much
really.
As, yeah,
just
not
with
really,
just with like one of the characters.
Yeah, it's sort of like, how can you do that?
I would have liked to see them try a little harder to do it.
I'd like to see them try a little harder in general. That's the other thing is, this director. Again, he's a good director. If you haven't seen The Autopsy of Jane Doe, guys, don't go see this movie. Just rent The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
I think it's free.
Yeah,
it's free right now. Yeah, Netflix.
I might watch that later today. It's terrific.
I watched it like a week or two ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and Trollhunter. Trollhunter's great. This guy is from another country, and I don't know if this is actually the case. But I get the impression that maybe this book series wasn't important to him. And maybe that, like, Autopsy of Jane Doe is probably his first American film, but this was probably his first, like, big movie. And I can see them being like, will you do this? And him being like, I guess, sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably got approached by Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, exactly. And it just didn't feel like he necessarily cared about this. Maybe I'm wrong. Because again, it's well directed.
It's not like he didn't try.
you know what it feels like? It feels like no one cared who was involved in it about the book series.
Yeah.
They just were sort of like, yeah, this'll do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't, because isn't the ending of the big toe the corpse saying you've got it?
Yeah, you just, as the storyteller, you just grab somebody next to you and say, you've got it.
Right. They didn't do that.
No, this corpse just screams at him and drags him away into the darkness.
That was the weirdest fucking... Like, that is the most one of the most memorable moments.
Mm-hmm.
That's like adapting... that's like if when they did the Psycho remake, they just left out the shower scene. Like, it's one of the more memorable things of Scary Stories. Because he goes under the bed and you hear the, where's my big toe, where's my big toe? And I thought it was going to be, like, it's one of the few times a jump scare is... justified because the story is literally a jump scare. Like you said, you're supposed to grab someone and say, you got it. And that doesn't happen. What a weird thing. What a weird choice. And that's what I mean, is that stuff like that makes me think that they just sort of skimmed these, or they didn't understand. Like, anybody who had read these as a kid and like did like a Halloween campfire stories would know, like, oh, that's a big moment in the story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it.
No.
So
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would have liked them to see them do some of the funny ones too.
Sure. I don't even remember the funny ones.
Oh, like the Viper. Do you remember that one?
I don't think so.
Or like the lady's in like an apartment and she keeps getting a call that says, this is the Viper, I'll be up soon. The Viper, I'm coming up now, and then the Viper comes to her door, and it's this little guy with a squeegee and stuff. He's like, I'm the Viper. I've washed the windows.
Oh, yeah. That's delightful.
Or like the wait till Max comes.
Right. Again, wouldn't it? All right. The Viper. Imagine if they were like, hey, Edgar Wright, you want to direct this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. Like, it would have been such a good... Because again, Scary Stories, I think, speaks to a lot of people. I think a lot of famous people. And the idea, if they put out feelers and been like, hey, who wants to act and direct in a scary stories thing? You come for like maybe a day, like depending on the length, you know, maybe more than a day, but it's, you know, for the actors, it could be just a day where it's like, yeah, and you get to be in this one funny story that lasts like 3 minutes. And we're going to do a bunch of them with like a pretty loose framing device in between that could have like a fun revelation at the end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been great. They didn't do that.
No, they didn't do any of that.
they didn't do any of that shit.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. People listening to this, I'm trying to think. Again, I don't know if I would recommend this movie.
I'm not sure I would. As competent as the horror stuff is, it's just so boring.
Yeah,
like
the writing is bad.
It's seriously like four of the stories, and they take about 2 minutes to play out, and then there's just these interminable chunks of exposition and just dumb characters doing dumb things.
Right, they could have done so much more with it,
and it's almost 2 hours long.
Yeah, it's like an hour
so
40
like,
something.
Jesus Christ, please. Like,
yeah.
At the halfway mark, when it was like, when it was became clear, like, what the pace of the movie was, that it's like, okay, I'm going to get a story like every half hour. I was like, I want to leave. Like, yeah. I want this to be over.
Right. It was, it's a real bummer.
Yeah.
It, man, they really,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. They really fucked this one up. It has decent reviews, but again, I think that the reviews are like, the reviews, I feel like, are people who aren't thinking about what this could have been. Because, yeah, if I went into this not being a fan of the books, mm-hmm. maybe I guess I could have watched this and been... Because it's just average.
Right. Here's my question, though. Like, if you're a person who's not a fan of the books, why on earth would you go see a movie called Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Yeah. Well, I think because it's PG-13. I think because someone would... if you're youngin... and you want to see a scary movie, and there's a movie called Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Yeah, that sounds stupid. But you'd see the trailers, and it would look like it's like kind of freaky. Because, again, it's as well-directed as it is, there's more gore than I thought there would be, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, cop gets his neck broken.
Yeah. yeah, sure does.
Yeah, that's a question real quick. How is any of those kids not arrested at the end?
Right, because they're like, the ending is baffling, by the way.
Yes.
Like,
the whole time, the Hispanic character is, he's just coming through town. He's a stranger to the town.
Yeah.
So there's this idea of there's this racism against him, and he's like a stranger. And like even like the good characters are kind of racist against him. One of them asks if he has a switchblade, or mm-hmm. he asks if he could see his switchblade.
And then he turns out to have a switchblade,
confirming the stereotype. That was weird. That was weird. But the point is that even the town cop is like really like suspicious of him too. And then he gets arrested, and then the ghoul thing comes, and it breaks mm-hmm. the cop's neck, and they breaks the cop's neck, throws it to the cell. Mm-hmm. They use the keys to escape. So
right.
people are just going to find that cop with his neck broken and his keys gone.
With his back against the cell.
Yes. And like the last thing they know is that he arrested these kids, because he does say goodnight to like a deputy.
Yeah. He says, I'll hold down the fort here.
Yeah.
So it's like all the other bodies disappeared. His body didn't disappear.
Right.
It's laying there looking like somebody from inside the cell broke his neck and stole the keys.
Right.
And then stole his police cruiser and crashed it into a semi-truck a mile or two away.
Exactly. He's going to jail.
Right. And the movie ends with like Ramon going off to war with a letter from Stella. And then Stella's in her car with Hank. And they're driving off into the mountains. Like, there's a way to get Augie and Chuck back. I know it. And it's in this book somewhere. And we're not going to stop till we have. And they pan to the back seat. And it's Chuck's sister who has like a big scar on her face. But like, she's better now. And she's just, I was like, did they adopt her? Because like,
yes,
her parents aren't dead.
That was like, so fucking
what
weird.
What is happening?
Also, what's Hank think about any of this?
Because
Hank is not informed anything that's going on. At one point, she calls him and she basically says, if I die, I just want you to know I didn't abandon you like mom did, more or less.
Yeah.
And he's just crying and he's like, what's going on? And she's like, I gotta go. Bye. And he's like, bye. And it's like, if I were him, I would leave the house immediately and go find my fucking kid who just sent me a suicide call.
Yeah.
A goodbye forever call. Yep. And then that's the most he knows about any of this, which is about a magic book that writes people's deaths.
Yep.
Hard cut to him in that car, smiling like, I guess
and
we
they
have
appear
this
to
young
be
woman.
Moving. They're moving with this teenage girl who belongs to another family.
Yes. I don't know what happened.
What is that?
What did they tell him or the families? It's so fucking weird. The other thing is they show that she wrote the girl's story.
Mm-hmm.
So there was time between those two events.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess Hank eventually believed her. I don't. This is all right. This is one of those things that's again. I don't even know how they were arrested because they show the kid him going off to war, and it was like, yeah, they should show him getting hauled off in handcuffs. This is just a horror movie trope where, like, for example, at the end of the remake of The Haunting, they're gonna have to leave and be like to the police, like, yeah, ghosts killed those people. And the police are going to have to accept that? Like, there's a lot of those moments in these horror movies where when there's a lone survivor, it's like, oh, that person's going to jail because their alibi is insane. I'm reminded there's a few movies where they actually handle that, don't they?
Like maybe.
I want to say Candyman. Maybe not. I don't know where it's the idea is like, yeah, no one's going to believe them. And that's part of the horror. And I like that.
It might be Candyman. I can't really remember.
This one goes out of its way to show suspicion towards a character who then is directly implicated in the murder of a cop.
Yep.
And then goes out of the way to show that there's no consequence.
Nope.
Yeah. Also, getting really sick of that Season of a Witch song.
I know.
Yep. We don't need that in everything, guys.
Nope.
We don't need that in all the movies.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be the same version that's in the Maleficent trailer. Nope, it's a different version.
No, it's a different. There's that. It's an industry. There's a bunch of artists that are just all doing different various speed covers of Season of the Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And only
and it
Season
needs to
of
stop.
The Witch. Yeah. Yeah, if you're getting your band together and you're like, hey, guys, I got a good idea for a cover, and it's Season of the Witch, and you're listening to this, like, before your band practice. Like, if you're all gathered around listening to us before band practice right now, I'm telling you to not cover Season of the Witch. I think we did our part there.
I think we did.
Yeah. I feel like
we did a pretty good job.
It's a positive message to come out of all of this.
That's right. That's the one thing that we can, positive thing we can take away from this film is stop fucking covering Season of the Witch.
Yeah, it's not a bad song.
Stop it.
Yeah, but it's...
Stop it.
We got too much. There's too much. It's too much, you guys.
Really, stop doing the slowed down moody covers of anything.
Yeah.
Fucking stop.
But it's... Yeah, especially
Season of the Witch. It's not original or fresh.
Mm. No. I mean, unless you want to sell it to a trailer company, in that case,
sure.
Get in while the getting's good, I guess.
Yeah, man, sell out when you can.
Yep, hit a piano, an echoey piano. Hit
a single key on a piano and sing
yourself
a pop song very, very slowly.
Yeah, you got yourself a goddamn hit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, anything else about this movie? The more I talked about it with you, the more I disliked it. Especially remembering the ending is fucking nonsense.
Yeah, the ending is insane.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this?
I really like this director, though. I really like Troll Hunter. I really like Autopsy. It's a real big shame. I mean, they can't all be good.
Like I said, this movie is 8 minutes of a cool horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then an hour and 40 minutes of a bullshit movie I don't care about that was boring as hell.
That's super boring. Yeah.
Yeah. Incredibly boring. I cannot stress how boring this movie is.
The characters weren't funny or interesting. Like, they were trying to be. Like, they had the jokester characters.
Mm-hmm.
They did little, like, they did little fucking arcs that didn't go anywhere where it's like they all had the hots for that girl and then the hots for the sister.
Yeah.
And it was like, is that going to inform anything that happens? And it doesn't. That's what it is. It's like a series of non sequiturs where it's like none of this stuff relates to the main story.
Right.
So the story, it feels like it's trying to have a message because of all the weird shit it puts in. But it never amounts to anything.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't actually say anything.
Right.
It's like the equivalent of somebody getting up to a podium and clearing their throat a bunch of times into the microphone and then just sitting down.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's the most baffling part about this is that they clearly were trying to say something. Maybe it was cut. Maybe this movie was 3 hours long and they cut
maybe
it in half.
There were some moments, I don't know if this was ever the intention, but there were some moments where it seemed like where we got some dialogue, some important dialogue where a character's back was turned or it suddenly cut away where I was like, oh, did this used to be rated R?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if that was ever the case, but there were some noticeable moments where it was
right,
like some important information was delivered by a character off screen.
Yeah, it really, yeah. It feels like they just didn't know what to do with this movie when the answer was extremely obvious.
Staring you in the fucking face, man.
Yeah. And they were
it's
like,
a short story collection.
We need to do something new and hip and different and that'll get the kids. I don't know. Because in the end of the day, it felt like it was like a book report that was half written.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like 8 minutes of actual scary scenes. The rest were just them treading water for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't see this movie. Don't see
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's
I'm surprised
fine.
It got so many good reviews. I think it's just cuz it's competent, right?
It must be. Yeah. It must be just because it's like definitely better than the Slenderman trash that gets put out.
Right. And I hope that we're not lowering the bar on this stuff.
I mean, the bar is already pretty low as far as critics go for horror movies. We're like,
yeah.
This is pretty good. I'm like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Like with Midsommar.
Right,
getting
right.
Getting like 90%. I'm like, this is The Wicker Man.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, The Wicker Man is great. I agree. I also like The Wicker Man. Yeah, I wonder if it's also just because we need to think about this in terms of a kid's movie. I don't know. There was
even
a lot to like.
Even
like,
a kid's movie. Like, it was boring.
Yeah, you're right. It would need to be sillier or, like, the humor would need to be... I don't know.
I don't understand how it goes so long. Like,
right.
So long in between horror sequences. It's like, this is a horror movie.
Well, here's... Okay. I got... There were some good creepiness in some of the moments that were long.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this director can just do creepiness.
Yes, he can.
And I actually liked the creepiness. Like, for me, the tension broke almost every time the monster showed up. The tension broke for me because the monster is cartoonish in each time.
Kinda.
Like, they're still cool-looking monsters, but it's mm-hmm. that case of the unknown is scarier than the known. Because
right, like, I see what you're saying, definitely.
Like, and I love a good haunted house. That house looked just like the house from, not just like, but it reminded me of the house from Ghost Story. And I love a good haunted house, and I love a good, like, creepiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that had amounted to anything, like, I wouldn't have minded them, like, slowly uncovering what had happened in this mystery if it was something interesting. And, again, the director just can hit that creepiness tone really well.
Mm-hmm.
And can build suspense. It's just not well written. So again, like that creepiness just sort of wore off near the end when I knew what was happening, and it was just like, oh, this is just kind of dumb.
Right, just waiting for it to play out at that point.
Yeah, and I knew there wasn't going to be a satisfying. Once we got to the point where I was like, I think we're like an hour and a half in. I don't think there's going to be a satisfying ending to this. I think it's going to be. Like the ending of, The Haunted remake where she just yells at the ghost
mm-hmm.
or The Haunting.
Haunting,
where,
yeah.
Yeah, where it's, yeah, and that's what happens. She just like, hey, cut it out.
She yells at the ghost.
Cut it out, ghost. Yeah. It's one of those where, like, that's always the problem with a good ghost story is, like, you have to figure out a way to, quote unquote, like, defeat the ghost or you don't.
Or you don't.
And it's usually a really dumb situation. I remember The Ring. The Ring was a pretty good one because they don't defeat it, but they like think they do.
Yeah, that was The Ring was a nice twist. Yeah.
If you watch The Ring 2, they kind of do that, and don't watch The Ring 2. But she's like, oh, she wants a mother, and willfully goes into the well with her, and then escapes the well and just closes it on her, and it says like some catchy like. Some like snappy catchphrase at her when she closes the well. And it was like, oh, who would have thought? All you have to do is like just physically block the ghost.
Pretend to be the ghost's mom for half a second.
And it's always those weird things like that where it's like, in the end of the day, like, I think going back to Ghost Story, they had a decent one where they just had to, like, a lot of the ones where it's like solve their murder or, you know, bring their body back, show them some sort of peace.
You destroy the body or solve. Yeah. They deal with that a lot in, like, Supernatural and shit.
Yeah, and it's like, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Stir of Echoes, where it's like, yeah, you just solve their murder or ignore them because they're not trying to kill you.
In Stir of Echoes, no. In Ghost Story, she most certainly is trying to kill them.
Well, yes, but she just... We should do what we just watched for Ghost Story. That movie is fucking crazy. Because she holds down she does her taxes in that.
She has a fucking job.
Yeah, she gets a job.
She's existing in the world as a person.
Yeah, because for part of that, she can't kill them. She just scares them so they fall.
Well, she causes them to die.
She causes them to die. Yeah. But so could Stir of Echoes, you know, if she wanted to, but she doesn't.
That's not the goal of the ghost in Stir of Echoes.
Yeah. But like the Ghost Story one is she's a real piece of work, that one.
Oh man.
She has sex with them.
Ghost Story.
Yeah. She doesn't just have sex with them. She holds down long-lasting relationships with them. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if you had, like, a two-year relationship with, like, good times and, like, inside jokes, and you're watching Seinfeld together on the couch at nights and making popcorn, and you're meeting each other's family, or, like, she's meeting your friends. Mm-hmm. And then you find out it's a ruse by a ghost.
Oh, wait. The Tales from the Dark Side ups that ante. You remember?
No, I don't.
Where James Remar settles down and gets married and has children with this woman who turns out to be the fucking gargoyle he saw like 25 years
ago.
And, like, and it was like the gargoyle swore him to secrecy and so he did. And then, like, for some reason, the gargoyle becomes this woman and enters into a marriage with him and has a family.
I guess the gargoyle, like, swearing him secretly and then being like, he was pretty hot.
Yeah, broke your promise! And she turns into a gargoyle, and the kids turn to gargoyles, and James Remar's like, I'm sorry! And the gargoyle's like, I loved you so much! And then she kills him, and her gargoyle child fly away.
What a weird problem to have. That's a weird marriage problem to have, yeah.
That is by far the strangest, like, vignette from a horror movie I can remember.
VHS did a version of that
in Tales from the Dark Side. Sort of.
Well, they did the version that we all think, like, Ghost Story is the same. It's the driving the woman home with, like, the ribbon on her neck.
Yeah, and you take the ribbon off and it's like,
and it's like, I mean, we all imagine having a fling with a ghost or a ghoul. Some of these stories were like, you know what? What if it keeps going?
What if it was a gargoyle?
Yeah, and what if the relationship lasted, I don't know, 20 years? Like, and resulted in children? Like,
Look, gargoyle kid.
What's saying? Like, I like that idea.
Why was that the gargoyle's bargain?
That gargoyle was not, I would say, does not represent other gargoyles. I think other gargoyles were like, yeah, that gargoyle lost its damn mind.
We don't know what she was doing, man. I don't know. She just saw James Remar and, like, made him make a leprechaun promise.
Yeah.
She's made him real make a Rumpelstiltskin promise.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what happened down there.
Because that's got to be the case sometimes, right?
Yeah.
That, like, these ghosts are, like, and they've done versions of that, but, like, yeah, they could just be this weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
They could just be real weirdos. Yeah, it's the same with aliens. Is what if you get abducted by an alien? They're a real jackass.
Just a real fucking creep.
Yeah, it's like, we don't know. What if that's the alien probes and, like, it's just like weird fucking aliens that, you know, are just touching us for some reason.
Mm. So, anyways, that's a review of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah, I think we've covered it pretty thoroughly. Yeah.
Go watch any of the other movies we mentioned.
Seriously, watch Scary. Why can't I think of the word? Ghost Story.
Ghost Story.
With fucking, it's the last film of what's his fuck?
Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire's last film, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based got the Borg Queen. The Borg Queen's in
the
it.
The Borg Queen is the ghost. Yep. Peter Straub book, I think?
Some sort of ginger guy.
Or it might be Matheson. I can't remember.
I don't know. You see his dick.
Oh, you do see a guy's dick as he falls out of a skyscraper. Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah. It's a good movie, too. It's just well-made
Get
movie.
It?
Also, it's a group of old men called the Chowder Society.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of dumb things that are great. Like it's
pretty great.
Yeah, it's a pretty great movie, but it's got a lot of things to kind of chuckle at as you go.
Watch but it's Tales also, from the Dark Side. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. It's also a scary movie, I think, Ghost Story. I think it's a legit scary movie.
There's some genuine scares in it, for sure. Yeah.
So what you do... All right, Tales from the Dark Side, Autopsy of Jane Doe, and Ghost Story. Go watch those. Mm-hmm. Don't watch whatever the one we were reviewing
Just
is.
Read the book. Just read the book.
Yeah, just read the book. Yeah. Okay.
It's maybe rent it so you can fast forward and see the stories that they did from the books. But like movie itself is so dull.
I would go further than that and don't rent it. Wait for it to be free on streaming in about 3 months from now. Because I don't think it's going to get very far.
Well, it's already done better than projected.
Oh.
So.
The hell.
I guess people are just dazzled by an above average
horror
movie for teens.
Going back to the fact that I'm not mad at it, if this does a lot, if this does good, I'm going to be confused, but it's not hurting anybody, you know, where it's like, oh, really? Okay. Like, if The Nun was like the top horror movie of the year, that would make me furious.
It was.
Because it would be, oh, fuck. Oh, well, I'm furious. Because that's just like, wow, that is a fundamentally dumb movie that people should have saw through. This movie, it's like, it's not, it's baffling, it's boring.
But the horror stuff is good.
Yeah, so it's just like, all right, if this does well, then so be it. Mm-hmm. I just, yeah.
Yeah, I'll never watch it again.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch this again.
But yeah, so that's a sode.
Yeah, thanks for listening, you guys.
Yeah, guys, man, you hung in there.
You hung in there.
What do we got, Dave? What do we got?
Guys, we got a Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. You can check out a bunch of exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac and Tom and Jeff Watch Batman. We just had a free episode of Fox Mulder is a Maniac that you can check out.
Mm-hmm. Sure did. And we also have a store, man. tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed where you can check out a bunch of shirts and sweet posters and all kinds of stuff, man. You gotta mosey on over there and check it out.
Get in there. Dig in.
Get on. Auger your way in there.
Yeah. Also, if you're on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a review.
I think
that probably helps us in some way.
That helps us out in some way. Sure.
Yeah.
Leave us a review.
Check out Ghost Story.
Check out Ghost Story. Check out the 1980 film Ghost Story.
Yeah.
Starring screen legend Fred Astaire in his final film role.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, have a good day.